Guess what Pastor's going to teach about today? How'd you know that? How'd you know that? Praise God. Yeah, grace is all a part of it, isn't it? Praise the Lord. If my Kindle will work here really good for me. Why don't you stand this morning, turn to Proverbs 4:23, kind of our base scripture for this teaching. And you know, there's as I go through this and again, I just find so much that relates to people that grew up with, still have an orphan spirit or an orphan's heart. And today I want to talk about relationships. So this probably, you know, I've done so much teaching on this already, but I just want to say it's probably one of the most significant teachings I'm going to do on this, because I feel like so much of an orphan spirit is brought into relationships. And God wants you to have whole, healthy relationships, right? Amen? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs what? The issues of life. Let's hold up our Bibles this morning and say like we mean it today. Come on, say it today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody, give them a high five, and say, no orphan heart here. Amen. Wow. God has designed us for relationships. God desires that we have relationships, friends, family, husband, wife, children, you know, aunts, uncles, in-laws, outlaws, all those relationships. God has designed us to have and live in a relationship. Amen. An orphan spirit is a person who lacks emotional identity. They lack emotional identity. Most of the time, their emotions are all distorted and messed up, either because of their upbringing or just because of the way they've been treated in life. And all of a sudden that comes into their emotions and their emotional identity. They don't have that identity of Christ and who they really are in Christ. And so they're emotionally challenged or emotionally dysfunctional. God doesn't want you to be that way. Turn to somebody and say, God does not want you to be that way. God didn't want you to be emotionally dysfunctional. Amen? God wants you to be whole, healthy in every aspect of life. God desires that in your relationships, there is just nothing but His love there, His peace there. Amen? That you're so sound in your identity as a son and daughter that your emotions are stable. Amen? Praise God. You're not rocking and reeling because of emotions, because, you know, relationships can be very challenging at times, even the best relationships. And God desires that you be that stable factor in those relationships. If you are ever with family, how many ever have family? Hello? How many know there's some emotional and stable people in our families? You know what God desires you to be? You are the rock. Because you know who you are in Christ, you have such an emotional stability in Christ that you're not moved by these things, because you know the love of God, and that love of God is the security that we build our life on. It is that love of God and grace of God that pours into our hearts as an orphan and brings healing and freedom from all this other stuff in our lives. So an orphan spirit lacks emotional identity. It seeks to earn, listen to me, it seeks to earn his or her identity through efforts, through pleasing, through work. Hello? Their symptoms include a critical spirit, very critical about everything. Wow. They're very defensive. Think about this. Unable to take correction. They feel abandoned and they blame others. And, you know, it's often based in rejection, hurt, and pain. That's where that comes out of, rejection, hurt, and pain. Not all, but many people who have been through a divorce come out of that divorce with an orphan's heart because of rejection, hurt, and pain. And especially if they don't know and understand their Father and the love of the Father, their God, God the Father, amen, in their life and their heart, they come out so wounded. Amen? God wants you to be whole. God doesn't want you to be wounded. God wants you to be healed. Amen. God doesn't want you walking around with emotional instability. God wants you walking around in the spirit of His Son, Jesus Christ, full of life, joy, and peace. Amen. God doesn't want you walking in that place. God wants you walking in His security. Amen. God is the healer of orphan hearts. Amen. He heals our hearts. He wants us to have a full, strong relationship. Amen? When it comes to marriage, God said this in Genesis 2:18. He said, it is not good for man to dwell alone. Amen? Those who have not received the fullness of God's love and acceptance into their life and grace often struggle in marital relationships because they're walking into that relationship with an orphan's heart. And if two people get together with orphan's heart, there's going to be a lot of trouble, right? Because both of them are emotionally unstable and emotionally insecure, and they're really, you know, they're always defensive, and they're always critical, and they're always wanting to battle and fight one another and try to get their way and try to get their attention and blah, 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 and on it goes. And so many of these that come into that situation, come into that marriage, and that marriage has ended very soon. God didn't want that for you. Hello? The worst crock I ever heard in a movie line that people think, oh, isn't that great? Is the one that says, you complete me. You complete me. How many ever heard that? Was that Tom Cruise? Who was it? What movie was it? Jerry Maguire. Show me the money! Jerry Maguire, right? And she said, or he said, she said, didn't she? Y'all know that movie? Who saw that movie? Who ever seen that movie? Most of you have. You know, she says, you complete me. You know, listen to me. God wants you to be complete in Him before you enter any relationship with a man or woman. If you're a single person this morning, and I hope you are, if you're going to enter that relationship, hello, amen. God wants you to be complete in Him. You know, there's a lot of romantic, and people get so caught up in all this romantic stuff. Romance is good. I love romance. If you like pina colada, yeah, I love romance, amen. Romancing my wife. We love that. Amen. We enjoy that. But listen, God wants you to be complete in Him before you enter any relationship. Don't be out there looking for your whole. Amen. You should be a whole already. Or I'm finding my better half. Amen. No, you should be a whole already before you find the better half. Oh, turn to somebody and say, he's really preaching to you, right? Amen. So, wow. So, really, who's behind the orphan spirit? Who's behind the orphan's heart? I want to tell you the enemy is behind it. Satan is behind an orphan spirit and an orphan's heart. He was the one that was kicked out of his position in heaven. You remember that? In heaven, there are three areas of angels, leading angels. There's the announcing angel, who was Gabriel. He was ahead of that. There is the warring angel, who was Michael. He was ahead of that. And there was Lucifer, who was the worshiper, who led worship in heaven. You know, worship is so powerful. If you really want to confuse the enemy, and you really want to, you know, send him away if he's been bothering you a little bit, the way you send him away is you throw up your hands and you begin to worship God. Because what he can't stand is you are taking his place with what he was really ordained to do, but now through the authority of Jesus, you are doing it. Amen? So worship is such a powerful tool against the enemy because he led all of heaven in worship. He was a musical, beautiful being. why music is still so powerful today, right? So your worship defeats his attack every time. Your worship defeats his attack every time. Let me say that again. Your worship defeats your attack, his attack every time. Over in 2 Chronicles, remember when they were surrounded by the enemy? What did they do? Did they send out war and arsenal and guns? No, they said, put the praisers up front. Let them praise him. Amen. And when they begin to praise and sing, the enemy got confused. Amen. You confuse him when you begin to worship. Amen. You confuse him when you lift up your hands and say, I'm going to make a joyful noise to the Lord. That scripture is for all those who can't sing. Joyful noise. Amen. So he was kicked out of heaven because of rebellion. He came to man here on earth to take the authority that God gave man on earth. And he came to Adam and he came to Eve. And did you notice that he came to Eve first? He didn't come to Adam first, but he came speaking to Eve. You know, I have a lot of thought on that, but one of my real thoughts on that is because Eve, the woman, is the giver of life. She has a choice in it. And he knew that life was going to come through this woman. And ladies, you have a choice in that. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. I want us to look at this just a moment. Genesis 3, verse 1. Wow. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has says what? You shall not eat, nor you shall touch it, lest you die. Notice she didn't say the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She said the tree that is in the midst of the garden. She didn't say the tree of knowledge and evil. So, you know, the tree was there when Adam was formed, and Adam came along, and then Eve was formed out of Adam. And somewhere, I believe, maybe Adam didn't communicate too well, because guys are not that great of communicators. Come on, guys. Amen. Women are detailed. You know, you go to a ball game and you take your wife along, and after the ball game you meet up with some friends, and you know, the ladies are asking you, hey, you know, how was the ball game? You said, great, we won 2-1. And then they ask your wife, how was the ball game? Oh, it was great. The sun was shining. You should have seen the colors of the uniforms that the guys had on. They looked so sharp. Oh, the lady sitting next down to me, you know, she had this type of shoes on. She had that type of handbag. Oh, yeah, she had her hair done real nice. Oh, yeah, and the popcorn was awesome. Women, for the most part, are great communicators. Men, we like to grunt. We have kind of that Tim the Tool Man thing going on. We kind of like to grunt, but women are great communicators. And I think somewhere here, possibly Adam didn't communicate the full story the way it should have been told to Eve. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But she didn't call it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. No, she said it's the tree in the midst of the garden. And he said, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, what? You will not surely die. He's got that same lie going on today. Do you realize that? It's the same thing. He hasn't changed his operando in, you know what, 6,000 years, right? So, for God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like what? They're already there. They're already like God. Hello? They're already in that position. He was trying to move them out of that position. I just want to show you guys this, all right? Hang on this morning. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took the fruit and ate, and she also gave it to her husband with her. Where was Adam? Where was Adam when this was going on? With her. Did you ever notice that? I used to think Adam was so over here in the garden somewhere. No, Adam was right there with her. Guys, you know what? This orphan heart, man, It can be on guys as well as women. It can be on all of us, right? He was right there. Didn't say a thing. Turn to somebody and say, men, be men. Come on. Amen. All right. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering, always trying to hide. Always trying to hide. Then they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among them, the trees of the garden. And then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was what?" Fear came in. Fear came in because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of the which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Now listen. Then the man said, do you see the orphan spirit just starting to penetrate through this? Then the man said, he began to blame. That's one of the signs of the orphan spirit, is to be critical and to begin to blame others. As soon as they were tempted and they fell in that area, and Satan said, "Ha, I'm going to get them because I know all about this orphan spirit." He introduced it to man, and here he begins to blame this woman that you gave me. Guys, be careful when you do that, right? Hello? In fact, you shouldn't do that, right? So, because this woman that you gave me, the orphan spirit is quick to blame others, and it took hold. Wow. God wants you to have good relationships. Turn to John 4. We looked at this before, but I want us to go back here again. As I was studying this week, there's just so many things here. God, the Old Testament says God hates divorce, but I want to tell you, God loves a divorcee. God has healing for your heart. There is no second-class citizen in the body of Christ. Amen? God has healing for all of our hearts. He wants our hearts to be so whole in Him, amen, so secure in Him, so filled with His love. Amen. John chapter 4, verse 1. Let's go there. "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John," isn't it funny how religious folks, they're all hung up on numbers. Amen. Always trying to outdo the other. You know, hey, you know what? Jesus baptized more than John. Let's keep track, you know. Wow, isn't that something? "Though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples," right? "He left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria." He needed to go through Samaria. "The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, but Jesus had a need to go through Samaria. It doesn't matter where you are, Jesus will meet you at your point of need. He is always there for you." Amen. He never leaves you, never forsakes you, and you need to understand this, especially if you've been dealing with an orphan spirit. God loves you right where you are. You are lovely to God. Nothing has taken him by surprise. He sees you as beautiful because of Jesus today. His grace covers you because of Jesus today. His grace is sufficient for you because of Jesus today. There is nowhere you can go that Jesus hadn't already been, and he still loves you. Man, that's powerful. Amen and amen. "So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar." You know what that means? Liar. Liar. I thought that was so interesting. "Near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." Now, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about what? We ministered on this a few months ago or so, the sixth hour being at noon. The sixth hour was noon, 6 o'clock in the morning, and the sixth hour was noon. Morning started at 6, sixth hour was noon. It was in the heat of the day that Jesus was there. He was wearied from his journey, and he was there at the well. And a woman of Samaria that came to draw water, Jesus said to her, what? "Give me to drink. Give me to drink." Okay? "For his disciples had gone away in the city to buy food." They have to have money to buy food, by the way. Just wanted to let you know that, right? "Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan, not less also a woman? For the Jews have what? No dealings with the Samaritan. Jesus, why would you even ask me? You're a Jew. You have no dealings with me. Why would you ask me? And listen to his reply. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you what? Living water. God is in the living water business. He wants to give us living water. The Bible says, out of our innermost being shall flow what? Rivers of living water. That is the Spirit of God within us. The sonship of Jesus Christ, amen, is tied in with the Spirit of the Lord within you. He has adopted us by his Spirit. You know, in the Old Testament, in the Roman days, their adoption was so different than our adoption. Their adoption back, we think of adoption as adopting a baby. In the Romans' days, they would adopt into the family, and this is where Paul was writing from his perspective when he says we are adopted into the family of God. They would adopt not babies, but they would adopt grown children into their family. Not babies, but grown children. And often they would adopt grown children even though their parents were still living, and they would get the full right of Roman citizenship and the full right of any inheritance that one that had adopted them in. And that's what Paul was saying in Romans 8, that we've been adopted into the family of God with full inheritance. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than the father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will what? Turn to somebody and say, an orphan always is drinking at the wrong well. An orphan is always looking for somebody to fill that void in a relationship. They're always looking for someone to fill a void. And they think if they find that someone, then everything is going to be great. Woo! I finally found him. Woo! Man with a 10 and a Bible in his hand. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Everything's going to be so good now. Man, they just don't know. Because they are looking for people to fill a void that only God was designed to fill. And what happens when they get caught up in all that emotions, because their emotions are not healed, they just run from one relationship to another trying to find that perfect person that's going to fill all that love that's missing in their heart. Only God can fill that love. Amen? Wow. Only the Lord can. Look at this. But the water that I shall give him will become to him a fountain of water springing up into what? Everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. She was looking in the natural. I don't have to work any longer. And it's so true. You don't have to work any longer, because it's a refreshing that comes from within. Amen. And it's so joyful and so full of his love, and it really does complete you. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had, and the one you have now is not your husband. You're just shacking up. You ever remember that term? You know, how many know the story of Ruth and Boaz? Anybody remember that great romantic story in the Bible? What a powerful story it is, you know. And God, if you're a single woman, God has a great Boaz for you. Turn to somebody and say, yes, sir, amen. Y'all need to say, hey, he was wealthy? Hello? He was a believer? Come on, somebody. If you're a single woman and you desire to get married, you need to be shouting on that right there. God has a great Boaz for you. But like my buddy Jensen Franklin, how many know Jensen Franklin? He's you know, I love Jesse. He's a great guy, man. Jesse says, you know what? You need to wait for your Boaz or you'll get a dumbass. Or you get a lazy ass. Or you get a beat on you ass. Hello? Because what happens is some people have been single for a while, and you know, singleness, you need to celebrate it. Thank you, Jesus, faith says, amen. You need to celebrate that singleness. You need to say, thank you, Lord, hallelujah. I am so complete in you. I am so full of your love and joy. I am so full of your peace. The Bible says if you're single, seek not a, what? Don't be seeking somebody. They're going to come to you. God is able to send them to you. You enjoy your singleness. Amen. Don't get caught up in all this world stuff, all this emotional stuff. No, enjoy what God has given you. Amen. So I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, you know, they had gone through a situation. It was not good. And they said, you know what? I'm finally just enjoying my singleness. I'm enjoying where I am. I said, man, that is awesome. That is the place where God wants you to be. God desires you to be drawing out of that well of living water and to be refreshed, amen. That orphan spirit just goes from one relationship to another, trying to fulfill what only God can fill. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Turn to somebody and say, he's preaching to you right now. Now, come on, somebody, amen. Say, he's really preaching to you right now. So, hallelujah. She had an orphan spirit. You know, God desires you to walk in the fullness of what God has for you. Amen? Look at this. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly. You truly said that. Wow. Man, she had five, and God recognized each one of them, by the way. Isn't that interesting? Go on. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Sir, I perceive that, man, she was right on right there. I perceive that you are a prophet. Amen. And there's really an exclamation point in that in the Greek. I perceive that you are a prophet. Wow, you know. Or our fathers worshiped in the mountain, and you Jews say in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. This is what Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, now is the hour coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews or come through the Jews. But the hour is coming now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father, what? In spirit and in truth. And the Father is seeking such to worship him. Worship is so powerful, guys. Worship, you know, when you're feeling that area or you're allowing your emotions to take over a little bit, get into worship. Amen. Allow the Holy Spirit to worship through you. Amen. It will build you up. It will build your most holy faith when you're praying in the Spirit. When you're feeling lonely, start to pray in the Spirit. God is there with you. Amen. Don't make a stupid mistake. Don't do that. Man, just enjoy the goodness and the fullness and the richness of God. Is it lonely being single? Yes. How do you know? Because I've been there. I've been there. It is. It is very lonely at times. But thank God for Jesus. Come on, somebody. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. He is so awesome. Praise God. And God will send you that person in due season. If it's God's will for you to be married. Some of you love singleness so much, you're like, forget that. This is great, man. You know, one less bell to answer, one less egg to fry, one less man to pick up after. Hey, hallelujah. I can go where I want to go. I can, you know, hey, this is great. Now, some of you married don't get thinking about that too much, right? Amen. Amen. Don't be thinking about that too much. I mean, marriage is great. Love being married. But some of you, you know, you're not celebrating your singleness, and God says celebrate it. Enjoy it. Jump up and down. Praise God, man. It is awesome. I can get to church early and get all the donuts if I want to. Praise the Lord. I have no one, you know, man, it's all, I can, my house can be a mess, and I don't care. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. But the hour is coming now. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, he is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I speak to you, am he. What did he do? He just healed the orphan spirit. He just revealed to her who he was. The orphan spirit is healed when Jesus is revealed who he is. Full of love, full of grace, full of compassion. He shouldn't even have been there talking to her according to religion, but there Jesus was in the midst, much less a woman of ill repute. Jesus was there with her. God is there with you today. Amen. He doesn't leave you or forsake you. Jesus said to her, what? What did he say? Back up. Come on. I am what? He. Amen. Look at this next verse. And at this point, the disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. They marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek or what are you talking with her? Right? But their expressions, the woman then left her water pot. She came with an empty water pot. You know what? You need to leave your water pot behind. You need to get hooked up with the well. A water pot only serves for a little bit. You have to fill that water pot up again. It's like your emotions. You have to fill it up, they empty out. You have to fill it up, you empty it out. But a well is flowing forever. It's continually flowing. If you have a well, you don't need a water pot. And she left that water pot because she found the living well that day. She found the man that would satisfy everything in her life. And guys, it's the same for us. Amen? It's the same thing. This is a story about a woman, but a man can have this orphan heart and this emotional instability and run from this relationship to that relationship, trying to fill that void when only God's love can fill that void. And you ladies said amen to those men, right? Come on, somebody. So the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men that had abused her, that had no doubt taken advantage of her. Five of them have been her husband that she went to talk to. The men of that city, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then what? They went out to the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Hallelujah. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Man, they turned to somebody and said, they were really lame, weren't they? You talk about not being in tune, right? Right? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are what? Already white for harvest. Folks, the fields are ready white. They're waiting for us. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he and he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I'm going on down a little further today. I want you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city, what? Believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 more days in that place, bringing the word, healing the hearts, restoring the spirits. That's what God does, man. That's what he wants to do in our relationships. We don't have to carry an orphan spirit into another relationship. Amen? We can be whole, free, and sound because of Jesus. Because of his grace and his love, man, poured into our lives, you don't have to be lacking any place in your life. Amen? God wants you to be emotionally stable in him in all areas. Stand this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, God wants you to be emotionally stable in all areas. All areas. God doesn't say, God doesn't want me lacking anywhere. Say, I am whole in Jesus. My heart is whole in Jesus. I reject any pain, any depression, any sorrow. It is not the Lord. I do not possess a critical spirit, but one of optimism, one of faith, one of belief. I am whole. My heart is healed. I receive the grace of Jesus Christ in my life. I am stable. I am stable. I am not moved by what I feel or what I see. I am only moved by the Word of God in my life. Thank you, Lord. My heart is healed. Though I've been through some things, I am forgiven totally, and I am healed. And I have forgiven others by the grace of God. I walk in forgiveness. No one offends me. No one offends me. No one offends me. I walk in love towards all people. In Jesus' name, I am the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. I am full of God's grace, of God's love for everyone. Today, I receive my total healing in my heart. My relationships are good. They're strong, full of love, full of the favor of God. In Jesus' name, I am complete in Him. That's what the Bible says. It says, in Him we are complete. In Him we are whole. God loves you today. Amen? Amen. Shake hands with five people and say, God loves you today. Amen? Come on, give me some praise. Amen. Hallelujah.